It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
All right, before we get going on Long Tossin', I did want to throw to Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Peter Bendix. He spoke on Sunday afternoon. Let's just give you some context here. Here's Peter on Sunday afternoon, and then we'll get into Long Tossin'.
Just your thoughts here. Obviously, it hasn't been the start you guys wanted. What has gone on here in April, and what have you liked, what haven't you liked?
It's been very frustrating and very disappointing. I think there's no other way to characterize it. It's not the start I was hoping for. It's not the start anybody on this field was hoping for. I've been happy and impressed with the way the group has really held it together. They're still very positive. They're still working very hard. They're still controlling the things that they control, and that's the way that you can break out of a start like this.
Skip has mentioned so much. He has to try to put the players in a, I guess, better position to succeed. Do you think you've done that for the coaching staff and him?
I hope so, but when you have this record, I think we can all improve. I think I can improve, the coaches can improve, the players can improve. That's what we're all looking to do every day. And frankly, that's what we're looking to do even when we're winning games, and more so when we're not.
When you mentioned that you're looking for improvement on the front office side, what are you looking for? Specifically, is it with more explore more signings or trades or people coming up from the minors? What is it on your end?
It's all of the above. We're always exploring ways that we can improve the roster in the short term and in the long term. And right now, when you have the record that we have, it's certainly a little more focused on what we can do in the short term and making sure that at the same time, we're understanding that we don't want to panic, that a lot of these guys have track records of performance that we believe in, and that we know that they're working hard, we know that they care, we know that they're trying. We're just all trying to get better.
Balance between the short term and the long term?
It's a constant thing that we're always thinking about. And I think with the record that we have right now, it perhaps changes decisions compared to a different record. But there's also nothing that's set in stone at this point, and we're really thinking about that every day.
How would you evaluate the moves that you made in the offseason thus far, the players you brought in, your evaluation on those?
I can confidently say that it's too early to have a strong evaluation. I think that we've seen some positive things with guys like Calvin Fauché. We've seen some players that I'm confident are going to improve based on what they've done so far. But at the end of the day, we have to remember it is not even May yet. And the worst thing that you can do is evaluate players too soon and come to the wrong conclusion.
Do you feel that the catching position will need an upgrade at some point? It's, you know, bottom barrel in Major League Baseball right now.
I think it's very fair to say that our catchers have struggled. I think both of these guys have track records to suggest that they're going to bounce back. Both of these guys have a lot of talent, especially defensively, especially with our pitching staff, a lot of the things that don't show up in their statistics. I'm also very confident that their offensive performance is going to improve.
With the number of pitching injuries, will you address the depth? Because, you know, it's probably unfair somewhat to the guys that already had, like, innings monitored and whatnot.
We're always going to be addressing the depth, and the more guys that we have injured, the more important that depth is. Unfortunately, that's something that is the case around the league and that we knew was going to be the case. It'll be opportunities for guys to step up, right? There's going to be opportunities for Sixto Sanchez here to get some innings. There's going to be opportunities for, you know, we saw Rodri Munoz. We saw what he could do. We're going to have guys with that opportunity, and it's up to them to take it.
With the Max Meyer situation, you mentioned that you wanted to see a responsible number of innings, that you didn't know exactly what the number could look like. Now, with obviously his first start, what could possibly be a responsible number in terms of innings, outings, and the amount of pitches maybe that you want to see him throwing?
We have a plan with Max that we've communicated with him, with his agents, with our pitching coaches. That doesn't involve an exact number, but it involves a range that we and Max feel pretty confident that if he gets to that range, we would be setting him up for success in the future.
How do you determine that range? I know there's been a lot of discussions between injuries across Major League Baseball, especially right now.
It's a constant conversation with our medical people, our coaches, and with Max. Unfortunately, there's no exact science to this. We're all trying to do our best with keeping pitchers healthy across the industry, and I don't think we as an industry are doing a great job. So it's really about making sure that we don't give too much too soon to a player who's coming back from injury, while also making sure that at the same time, he gets enough of a foundation underneath him.
And then you get a scenario like with Perez last year where you know, there's a talk about protection in this, and then you wonder, what are you protecting? The guys get hurt anyway.
It's true. And then you have someone like Sandy Alcantara, who is one of the most durable pitchers in baseball until he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the act of throwing a baseball 95 miles an hour over and over is very difficult on the human arm.
One of the things Skip mentioned when Max was optioned was him having to throw the other pitches too. Is just how important is that, especially if he wants to stay a starter in the big leagues?
Max has a great fastball and one of the best sliders in baseball. In order to be the type of front of the rotation ace that he can be, that we believe that he can be, he needs to really refine the rest of his arsenal as well.
And more on the pitching injuries, obviously with the news of Lizardo recently, is there a timetable that the organization kind of has in mind as to maybe when they could see him back or maybe when we hear anything additional regarding the status of his elbow?
We're still awaiting the results of some testing on Lizardo.
Peter, why should fans be confident that this is going to turn around?
It's a long-term process. That's something I've said from the beginning. In the short term, this is going to turn around because we have a bunch of players who are really committed to making sure it turns around. We have a staff that is committed to working hard and putting them in the best position to succeed. And we have guys with a track record of success. We have guys that are going to get back to the level of performance that they're accustomed to. In the long term, my vision for what this organization, where it's going, is not changed. The vision is the same thing that it would be regardless of our record right now. I continue to have the support and the resources to really get this organization where it needs to be.
If we keep losing, though, and the team keeps losing, how can that confidence be maintained, and what decisions would you have to make at that point if this continues?
We'll see what happens if this continues. I'm confident that it will get better, at least in the short term. We have the guys to make that happen. But we all knew, I knew when taking this job, that to get the organization where I want it to be is going to take more than 1 year, regardless of what happens this year.
Is that something less about the like the future of the org, but like that you've addressed or like told the players and maybe coaching staff just to kind of well, maybe ease their worries, but like let them know where they stand or where the organization stands?
Yeah, I think these guys are professionals. These guys understand. A lot of them have been through very difficult stretches of baseball before. It's not an uncommon thing around the league for guys who have been in the league for a long time. So they know what this is about, and they know what they can control and what they need to do to break out of it.
Is there like a time frame that you maybe have just generally when working in baseball ops as to when you think maybe, okay, it's maybe time to reset for this year, move towards next year? That you would probably start assessing moves that would be made to better the team for the future?
We're always assessing those moves, right? We're assessing those moves from day one of the season, determining what the 26-man roster should look like, who should be on the team, who should be in AAA, what trades we might want to make, what waiver claims. All of that is really an ongoing process.
What is disappointing you about the offense in particular? It's a league low in walks, not to mention a lot of the other unfortunately, a lot of other characteristics. You got a lot of talent and speed, and yet we don't see a lot of that playing out.
I think it's the lack of consistency right now. I think from really at-bat to at-bat, game to game, we see the talent there, we see the ability, and then we see players maybe trying a little too hard and getting out of their game, which leads to chasing a lot of pitches, which leads to being in bad counts.
What about just on the pitching side, what you've seen so far?
We have a lot of talent. We really do. Even with the guys that are hurt, we have a lot of talent on this pitching staff. It's about attacking the zone. And they know that, and they're trying to do that. And when they do attack the zone, we have a lot of guys that can get anybody out.
Have you addressed the team, you know, after the start? And from what you can tell us, I mean, what's been the message to them?
The message has been to continue to work hard, to continue to do what you can, to control what you can, and that this will not last forever.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tossing here on this Sunday afternoon, just an hour and 40 minutes away from game three of this four-game set with the Washington Nationals. Steven Strom, Kyle Seeloff, Rod Al. We're not going to beat around a bush. We just heard from Peter Bendix, the Marlins president of baseball operations. As of right now, the Marlins are 6-22. fellas, we heard actually Peter on MLB radio, and then we got a live interaction with him down onto the field. Again, Marlin 6-22. He addressed the media on just the start of the season. Kyle, we'll start here with you because we just were down there with Peter. What were some of the takeaways and I guess some of the messaging that we can relate to our fans here?
Well, it's a good question. The one thing that I think isn't very important to note at this juncture, and Peter also mentioned this on SiriusXM MLB Network Radio a short while ago, he used the word patience, and he mentioned that this is not a one-year thing. They are actively trying to make this team better right now, but at 6-22, it is not even May. They have put themselves in a very big hole, but I do think it's very, very important to understand that Peter has a vision, and it's going to take a while. I don't know if we've really said that a whole lot this year. Peter has preached that. He has preached patience and conviction in their ways. They have gotten off to a dreadful start. We understand that. The team is not playing well in nearly every facet of the game right now. And very, very soon in the near future, they will really start to evaluate the best course of action for the remainder of this season, and obviously with a focus on the future. So he mentioned the word patience multiple times.
And time.
And this is going to take time. I understand from the fans' perspective that it's the last thing they want to hear right now. But if this is ever going to work, it's going to take time. And I know they've heard that many of times, and I am totally sympathetic of that. I am understanding of that.
Yep.
But if this is ever going to work, and Peter Bendix has been brought in here to replicate something that is very hard to do, but he knows the blueprint for it from over in Tampa, it is going to take time. And I understand the fans that might say we're no longer patient. And unfortunately, that is the case right now. But I do believe in Peter's vision and where he can get this organization, but it is going to take time.
Totally agree. Rod, you have the floor, my friend.
You know, the two words that stuck out to me that Peter said was frustration and disappointment. And that's what I felt yesterday watching the ball club play the game of baseball. They just did not seem like they had the kind of life in them that would lead them to win a baseball game. So for me, that kind of sticks out right now. I get that maybe we're short and we've had some issues with our starting pitching and a lot of those things that you just do not overcome. But a lot of teams have had injuries. But my question right now is the energy level that they're playing the game with. They're not nothing like the team that we watched last year. Not the same kind of energy, not the same kind of spark. And wherever that's coming from, I don't know. But those two words stuck out for me. And he said the clubhouse felt the same way, disappointed and frustrated. So they've got to get that turned around. They got a lot of baseball left, and you don't want to have an entire year going through this every single day. It's not going to be a happy place.
I challenge fans to think of it this way. And you really have to be honest, and we are going to be honest this whole way, not only just this year, however long we're so fortunate to be here. Because I've had to ask myself this question. Is the team that we saw last year at 84 wins, is that team good enough to beat a team like the Atlanta Braves in a best of seven? Is it better than a team like the LA Dodgers? And I know people are going to quickly go to the Arizona Diamondbacks comparison, and the Marlins went 4-2 against them, and it's crazy. Once you get in, you never know what can happen. But you have to ask yourself, is that team that we saw last year, let's say they kept Soler, let's say Sandy, is that team good enough to beat those teams? Because that's where you're trying to get at, right? That's the standard that you're trying to get at. You're not going to do it their way, but you want that standard to be up there of 90-plus wins, playoffs every single year. And what I'm trying to get at is this. How you get to that point is starting from the bottom and building a foundation and drafting the right way and signing guys to good deals. I'm just going to use the Braves as an example. Look at the Ozzie Albies contract, right? Look at the way that they've developed a guy like Austin Riley, right? There is a blueprint to this, and I challenge fans to think of it that way and sacrifice the short term, which we're seeing right now. Is that fair? I want comments on both of that.
Well, the only reason, the only way that you're going to be able to compete with the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Braves is if you spend $300 million a year. That's exactly what those teams are doing. And that's why those teams are in the playoff hunt most of the time during the course of the regular season. So until management really starts to spend that kind of money, you're not going to really be able to compete with those teams. Now, can you win 84 games and get into the postseason and hope that you can do something magical once you get to the postseason? You can hope that way. But as far as trying to compete with those teams on a day-to-day basis, it's just not going to happen.
Kyle?
Well, I go back to something that you just said, Stephen, and I wholeheartedly agree that the blueprint is to build a foundation.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
The home doesn't go up without the foundation. But what we don't know yet, and I agree, I think the Braves model is great, but that's also not the Rays model.
Yeah.
And again, if that's what they're going for, you don't even really see over there team-friendly long-term extensions. It's players at the peak of their value get traded as you operate in the way that they have. And you hope the four really dynamic young players you get back, that two of them pan out, you put them in the big leagues, they have a ton of success. And then when they reach their peak value, it's been very few and far between that the Rays have signed homegrown talent to long-term extensions. And that's not to suggest that's not the right way. It obviously can be done that way because they compete for a World Series basically every year. So I think it remains to be seen. And what I'm very curious to see is, do they almost go to a hybrid model of that? Is it let's build this thing from the foundation? And I don't know if they rip it to the studs. I'll be very curious to see
and
that.
And what does that look like to you, ripping it to the studs, for both of you?
That is anything and everything of value on your roster. It's to be traded for minor league assets to see if they will ultimately become big leaguers. But my question is, once they get this thing rolling, do they sign young players to long-term extensions that are team-friendly and other top talent? You trade them because at some point, because then you kind of run out, right?
Sure, sure.
So maybe there's a wonderful balance there. And I don't think there's any one right way to go about it. I think the Dodgers could win the World Series this year. And I think maybe a quote-unquote lower payroll team could win it this year. Like, the Dodgers aren't winning it every year. The Mets have not been good the last 2 years. They have a $500 million payroll. So it's almost hard to sit here and speculate what they're going to do. I certainly don't want to put words in Peter's mouth, but no. He has, at the very core of it, preached patience, and we'll see how it ultimately benefits this organization moving forward.
I don't know exactly what Peter is going to do, because obviously Tampa's been a really good team and a really nice model for a lot of people in baseball to model themselves after. And a lot of those general managers in the game of baseball today got their starts in Tampa underneath a really nice ownership group. But really the only one that's really having a lot of success of the group that has left Tampa is the guy out in Los Angeles, because they have a huge payroll. So I still tie it to payroll. You can go out and get good players. The drafts is not the same as it used to be.
Sure.
Whereas when you used to like tank, and a lot of teams were tanking. I mean, the Astros did that. The Cubs did that at one point in time, and that's how they got good, and that's how they got all their big-time prospects. The Nationals did that with Strasburg and Harper. But now you can no longer do that, because even if you are the worst team in the league, you're not guaranteed the first pick anymore. So that's why people were doing that. But I don't know how you fix it. I just know right now the mix is not a good mix, and it's so different from what we experienced last year. And I don't know why you have such a drop-off. I just don't know why.
And again, I think we're also – I'm trying to hit the fan perspective. I think another hard thing to kind of swallow is, you know, this team, and Kyle sort of alluded to it, if they do rip this thing, you know, who is going to be the remains, right? Like, I think fathom right now what the roster looks like next year, because I think, you know, fans obviously get attached to guys. You get attached to the Arises. You get attached to the Jazzes. And none of us know – by the way, who's shopping who. Look, overall, I honestly walked away from today listening to Peter feeling better, at least about the vision of the team moving forward, where there is a balance of short-term and long-term. He knows, and we know this up here, the team is obviously not playing well. They're not a six-win team through 30-something games. I mean, they're just not, and I'll defend them. They are not a six-win team after 29 games.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
I don't believe so.
What Peter continues to say, and one of the words that he spoke to me in spring training when I introduced myself to him, he always talks about culture. And I've heard him also say that that culture has to change here. I don't know what that looks like moving forward. I don't think he's explained it. But I've heard him say multiple times, culture. That's how you get the players in the right kind of culture, from the front office to the players to the families. And that's what he's trying to accomplish here. How he gets there, I have no idea.
What else, Kyle? You got anything else as far as the takeaways?
No, not really. It's just hard.
It's just hard.
No, it's not. It's okay. It is what it is.
It's a hard start, man.
No, but it is what it is. And the worst thing you can do is be fooled by something. And the bottom line for me is that if this team, I would almost prefer things to go south instead of being fooled in July and you hover around 500 and then you start trading away assets in the minor leagues to try to stay competitive this year. It's okay. This is okay. This is not the first team in baseball that's ever had an awful start and they ultimately don't perform well throughout the course of the season. The best thing you can do is simply be honest. And the honest assessment of this team right now is they're not good enough to compete. And does that mean that players on expiring contracts ultimately end up getting traded?
Are they good enough to compete, though, with, let's just say, there was no injuries? If we had Sandy, if
but
we
you
had
can't
Gary,
do that.
But I get that. But let's just do it. Because you do have to kind of see it through, right?
No, like, no, you don't. Because you can never assume that 26 guys are going to be healthy like that. Everybody
sure,
knows injuries are going to happen.
Sure, but you also can't assume that Yuri, Sandy, and possibly Lizardo are all out for the season. I mean, that's something I can't do. I can't do that.
Right, but this is the reality.
It's a reality this year, but I'm asking you, do you see the thing through in that lens where it's like, okay.
I think they tried. They tried to start the season.
But how can you try when they're not pitching?
I believe one way to look at it is the fact that no team can overcome Sandy being gone, now Lizardo being gone. Braxton Garrett was one of our better pitchers last year. He's in the bushes right now working his way back. Cabrera missed some time as well, and we're going to miss Yuri for an entire calendar year. Going to get Sandy back. Going to get Yuri back. Don't know Luzardo's situation.
Going to get Meyer, hopefully,
for
a full season.
Meyer will be back at some point in time. So the cupboard is not absolutely bare. The two kids, Noble, Meyer, and White, down in the minor leagues, those kids at some point in time are going to make their ways up to AA. So what the organization just has to make sure of once the pitching gets healthy again, there's good offensive pieces
around. Correct. The pitching is not the worry.
The pitching has never been the problem.
Right.
But they have run out of it.
Everybody runs out of pitching.
Well.
Everybody runs out of pitching. Look at the Atlanta Braves right now. Everybody runs out of pitching. I mean, everybody runs out of pitching.
Lopez wasn't even supposed to be a starter, and he ends up being a starter. And now they're.
But look at the moves that he made. He brought in Sale.
Right.
Brought in Lopez. You got to be that way creative, and you got to anticipate.
The worry to me is more. Go ahead. You know, go ahead, Kyle.
No, this is okay. Like it's not okay, but this is okay. Like
what's
this,
okay? What's okay?
That they stink to start the year. It's okay. It's fine. This is the reality of the situation that they're in.
Why is it fine?
Because they have no what else are you going to do right now? They have run out of starting pitching. They're four best starting pitchers, one's in the minor leagues and three are on the injured list. It's okay. Like this is all going to be okay down the road. It sucks right now. I understand that, but people have got to be patient with Peter Bendix. He has preached it, and I understand if people don't want to be, and that's fine. But unfortunately, you're going to have to be. They have nowhere to turn right now. They have no minor league system. That ranks 29th in baseball. The only way to get there is to draft, develop, and trade.
Sure.
That takes time.
And I also want to piggyback on that and just say, Peter did give this thing a chance, because I think the reputation, or at least the look, the optics of it is, well, Peter didn't go out and get something, you know, someone in the offseason. Well, he signed Tim Anderson. He did a couple of other things. He did make a trade for Nick Gordon, whatever it may be.
They were hoping the catcher position would be better.
Correct.
They obviously went into spring training thinking that Sandy Alcantara would be the only starting pitcher that would miss the entire season.
Because let me tell you something. As a new president of baseball operations, Rod, you know this too. You've been around this league. You have free reign. If you come in, he could have just said, we're trading you, we're trading you, we're trading you, we're trading. We don't care about your 84-win season. We don't care about the people that were here that led him to the playoffs. We are not – we don't care. We're going to start this thing from the front. And he did not do that, and I will give him a ton of credit for that. He came in here. He at least felt the energy that the Marlins did capture here in South Florida and said, let's see this thing through. He went out and got Anderson. He did a couple of other things in the offseason, and he saw it through, and it didn't work. And from that perspective, I respect that.
And now they need to deviate.
Exactly.
Now plans are changing.
But you know what? I commend him for at least trying, because it would have really, I thought, hurt the team. It would hurt the fan base if he were to just rip everything apart. And maybe looking back, maybe that was the better option. But I still think if you simulate the season 100 times, I don't think you get 6-22. I just don't.
I think Peter did what most intelligent businessmen would do, intelligent baseball people would do. He come in and you look at the organization from top to bottom. I mean, you look at the manager, you look at the staff, you look at all the assistant general managers that were in place here when Kim was here, and you kind of get a vision for where they are and how they think. And then he started to bring in some other people that he felt like would help the organization. He brought in Dave Kapler to give him a different voice. He brought in some guys from Texas, brought in some guys from Houston, guys from winning organizations, guys that did special things for those organizations to try to help him in the front office. Now, the next step for him will be to evaluate the minor league system. I talked to Peter. He's already gone down and watched a couple of our minor league teams. Any general manager should go down, or any president of baseball operations should go down and know exactly what the talent is in the minor leagues, because you might have to trade one of your young players at some point in time. So you have to know exactly what's down there.
How long does it take to evaluate a player, Rod?
Well, it just depends on what that player is. I mean, if it's a high school kid, usually it takes 3-4 years before you can really grasp how good that player is going to be, because they have to grow and mature into their bodies and different things like that. They're not a finished product. High school and college kids,
sure,
they go to really nice programs like Dane Meyer, who showed up here again today, guys that go to Rice, guys that go to colleges like that, guys that are perennial playing in college World Series and big-time talent. Takes those guys 1 to 2 years to get to the big leagues.
What about up here? What about, let me give you two examples, both of you. Vidal Brujan versus a guy in A.J. Puck, they, you know, 5 starts and he's done now. He's going back to the bullpen. What is the evaluation for those, you know, 2 examples?
I don't know if Brujan is an everyday player. I just don't know. I mean, he doesn't appear to me as of right now to be an everyday big league player on a championship caliber team. Okay, and I don't want to be mean by saying that. So that means he's going to play some shortstop, play some second base, play some third base. And he doesn't get a chance to do all that because Arise is your shortstop. I mean, your second baseman. T.A. is your shortstop. So he doesn't really get a chance to play all that much. So we might not get a chance to see what Brujan can really do this year, because when a Burger comes back, where is he going to play?
Sure.
And then Puck, as far as I'm concerned, his best spot right now is in the bullpen. He looked better out of the bullpen yet last year. Yes, he was good in spring training, but once those bright lights came on, he just didn't seem like that same guy as a starter. So maybe his bread is buttered better out of the bullpen, but I don't know what Brujan brings yet.
Kyle, take us home.
I would just reiterate what I said. Like, everybody likes to point at the Dodgers, who have spent $500 million. But you want to know what they also have is a darn good farm system. And every time one of those kids come up and they've built that up over the years, it's like, where'd this guy come from? It all starts there. The Marlins are 6-22. This has not gone the way that they've expected, and now it's time for plans to change.
Kyle, why is the farm system not better? You've been here for a long time.
Well, I mean, I think it's...
I mean, they draft just like everybody else drafts.
But they haven't drafted well. This is a new regime now that's going to get an opportunity to do things their way. And the last few drafts, and over the last half decade or so, a lot of those drafts have not gone well. And, you know, they've obviously traded some kids as well, in particular last year, obviously, to get the team to the postseason, which was... a lot of fun. So by all accounts, and I don't know the minor league system as well as some do. I won't pretend that I do. I do know it's ranked 29th in baseball right now, and that's a clear indication that they need to draft and develop better, and that'll start this season. And I would also offer this: as fun as last year was, the Marlins will now pick 17th this year. That's not a top five pick where you feel like that's a surefire.
Yep.
Bang bang. Here's a college kid. You see all these college kids now getting drafted. They're up in the show in 90 days. And I say all that, and I'll say it one more time. This is going to take time, and yep. I know that's hard to
Gotta
hear.
Give it time.
And this year has not gone the way they expected. I understand that. They're out of starting pitching for the most part. Sandy is hurt. Yuri said Tommy John. Lizardo's elbow is cranky. We'll see what happens there. Max Meyer was fun to watch. They need to protect him. He's in the minor leagues. Moving forward down the road, even beginning next season, it is very exciting to think about what this rotation could look like. But do not be fooled that five guys are going to go make 30 turns to the rotation. You do need 10 to 12 starting pitchers to get you through the season. That is going to require depth, and the depth needs to be real. Whether they'll have that or not, I do not know. But this is a multi-year plan, and I know that can be hard to hear, but that's honest. And I think the worst thing you can do is be delusional about the situation. They are not. They are going to be honest. They are going to do very, very well, but it's going to take some time.
Close the book, Rod.
One last point here. It's no coincidence that Peter Bendick spoke today. No coincidence whatsoever. As we sat here yesterday and watched the game, we all felt that this was the worst we'd seen.
100%.
Worst we'd seen.
100%.
For me, it's rock bottom. I think they go up from here. I do believe the team goes up from here. It's not, as you said, a team that should have not only won six games. This team will be better than they played the first 20 games of the year. There's no doubt about it. I've watched professionals for years. Yesterday was embarrassing, and I think everybody down there felt that. Skip felt that. Everybody felt that. You're going to see a different energy here today. I believe that 100%.
Fellas, thank you as always for the time. Thanks for long tossing with us. As always, we're on Apple Podcasts, @MarlinsRadio on Twitter, our YouTube page. Check it all out. We'll talk to you next Sunday.